Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live from AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And behind me, we have playing some footage that I took, I think, back in 2008 of a cannabis grow operation in Auckland there. And what occurs to me is that you can actually grow quite a significant quantity of cannabis in quite a small place with only a few grow lights. And not only can you grow a decent quantity in a small space, you can also grow decent quality. And this is the reason why I think that the pharmaceutical industry does not like this plant at all, because it is such a massive threat to their domination, basically, of life. William Donatello is my guest. Welcome back. And have you managed to actually grow any of this yourself, or have you just been getting other people to grow it and you're just processing it?
That's correct, yes. I have grown it myself when, you know, the right conditions are there and you're in the right place with privacy. Maybe your neighbours aren't going to dob you in and so on. But unfortunately, everyone's so divided, Vinny, that, you know, if someone looks over your fence and sees a plant, I mean, of all things, it's a plant, it's a herb like any other medicinal herb out there, except for it's better. And it's been demonised, and they will report their neighbour. I mean, you may have babysitted their kids or whatever, but they'll still ring the police and say, listen, this person's growing drugs. So that sort of deters people a lot from growing their own, especially, there's a bit of work if you want to grow indoors as well. The hydroponic setup is a science in itself, just about. I mean, I believe the concepts are very simple. People can grasp it and do it, but, you know, to really grow good quality indoor cannabis, there's an art to it, you know. Some people are passionate about it and love it, and that's the sort of people you need to find and start looking at them as people, not like scumbag drug dealers, because that whole image has been sold to you by someone that wants to sell you poison. I mean, I'm not sure if your American listeners know how it is here in Australia, but we pay a Medicare levy tax every year. Whether you go to the doctors or not, you can completely be responsible for your own health, and you still pay these taxes that go to fund chemotherapy and so on. It costs $5.90 for a concession card holder and 36 cents for the general general patient to receive this chemotherapy. And like I said, the plant grows for free. It grows everywhere. If you chuck seeds out there anywhere on a sidewalk sort of thing, they'll pop up between the cracks. It's an amazing, strong plant that just grows anywhere and everywhere, and it's so medicinal, and it's free. But it's so demonised that people would dob you in and have you, you know, in trouble with the police and so on for trying to grow your own medicine, be it for your family.
It gives a whole new spin on the phrase, the pot calling the kettle black.
Exactly. But see, why do we look at each other like that? Why do we look at our neighbours like, you know, why do some people look at their neighbours like we've got to dob them in? It's because we're so divided. Like you said, we just kept banging our heads together all over the place.
They just don't know anything, bro. They're totally brainwashed. Like my uncle, for example, who's a heavy drinker, comes up to me drunk as, scabs a cigarette off me, and then tells me that I'll never amount to anything because I smoke marijuana.
Oh. Another thing, Vinny, you can slap some people in the face with a stack of peer-reviewed studies of, you know, reputable universities that have shown THC or hemp oil cures cancer, and they still will tell you you're crazy right now because the brainwashing runs so deep. But I really believe it's coming apart because of the younger generations. I mean, the older generations didn't have access to a lot of the information we do these days. And you know, and then when this technology came about where they did have access to it, there's only a small percentage of people that were willing to, you know, change and learn with the time. Whereas the younger generation, all over the internet, all the time, learning all about what's going on, raising their kids differently, teaching their kids a different set of morals, the world's changing. I mean, these people that have been feeding us poison for profit for so long, they haven't got long left. I really don't believe that, because people aren't going to need them. We might not, you know, there might not be any big revolution or violent revolt, but people will simply walk away. Who's going to need a doctor when you know how to take care of yourself?
Yeah, I think that's absolutely true. I was speaking to an elderly Māori woman one day, and she was telling me that her grandchild came up to her, you know, like grandchild's like 18, 19 years old. And she says, "Grandma, isn't it wonderful? They're building a new hospital in our city." And she says, "You know, that's not wonderful. You know, it would be wonderful is if we didn't need them anymore and started tearing them down."
That's right. Exactly.
There's a lot of wisdom that comes with age. Sometimes you just get even more ignorant as the years go by. And one thing I was thinking about, you know, last night there was a news story released by the New Zealand media. You've heard this phrase before: "Kids these days. Back in my day, we didn't do any of that." Well, dig this. Here's a Auckland University study. High school students in Auckland, New Zealand. They drink less than their predecessors, smoke less than their predecessors, drive less dangerously than their predecessors.
What does
kids these days, eh? They're way more responsible than we were.
And they were raised by the same people that said, "You young whippersnaps will never amount to anything."
Exactly. And, what the government, of course, says is the reason for this is enormous advertising campaigns that are anti-smoking, anti-drink driving, and anti-getting too drunk. And I think that works. You know, if you brainwash people with a good idea, it actually works, doesn't it? Absolutely. Just like you can brainwash them with a bad idea, like drinking real hardcore is not good, but smoking weed, that's even worse.
It's like anyone that is familiar with the Ultimate Fighting Championship, I mean, this replay was brought to you by Budweiser. So you are associating an alcoholic beverage with someone getting knocked out in a replay, in a highlight replay, you know? And Harley Davidson, the only vehicle tough enough to be in the octagon. I mean, what are they associating alcohol and riding a motorbike and alcohol and punching someone?
Yeah, you know what I really want to do is go out on the town in Auckland tonight. It's Friday night, right? And and then what I'll do, bro, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to go around with my camera looking for people that are getting into fights and stuff like that, you know, just beating each other up and stuff like that. And then I'll come home and I'll edit the video and have the UFC Ultimate Fighting Championship kind of logo coming down the bottom there. And we're like, "Yeah, Budweiser."
Absolutely. I mean, I love the way George Carlin so eloquently put it. You know, at NASCAR, they're driving past all these signs of the alcohol beverages as well. He said, "Drink this, drive that, fuck you, they don't care about you."
Oh, we can't say the FU on this broadcast, unfortunately. We're operating under FCC regulations in a country that has free speech, allegedly.
Excuse that. I thought I heard you slip it before, so I thought I'd do it myself.
No, it's a bit of word replacement therapy. So if you want to say the F word, you say frack instead, because fracking is a hell of a lot more offensive than the other word, I think, in my opinion. And if you want to say the S word, you say Shiite Muslim. And I was just thinking about this the other day. It's like, you know, US policy towards Muslims. And I was just thinking, well, what are you trying to do? You're trying to demotivate Muslims from hating you by bombing them. What do you expect? You're going to blow the Shiite out of them?
That's right.
Yeah, and I unwittingly stumbled upon the real policy.
It's a crazy world we live in. I mean, people don't take into account the fact of our environmental factors as well. I mean, vaccinations, the food that we eat, all these things that do contribute to cancer. Why aren't we learning about this? Why isn't the government educating us about these things? Or at least the information's available, unless you are going to seek it out yourself, then, I mean, I grew up a lot of years in this country eating a really bad diet that no doubt would have led to cancer eventually. you know, and the lifestyle that was just conducive to that. A lot of alcohol, sugars, and a lot of these things that promote the growth of cancer cells. Our Western lifestyle is very, very toxic. When we take into account the vaccines, I mean, you can't go into a public toilet without being sprayed by chemicals, you know, synthetic chemicals. And I believe these things play a massive part, but no one's educated about that. So what are you talking about while they're chewing on a Big Mac?
Well, they're talking about, I don't know, a McChicken?
What are you talking about? Cancer? McCancer?
McCancer. Oh, yeah. What are you struggling with, mate? I'm struggling with McCancer. So, see, this is the thing. It's so crazy. The reality is crazy. And this is my Facebook status from yesterday. If you're reporting the news and you don't sound like a nutcase, then you're not telling the truth.
That's right. That's how crazy it's gotten. The truth is stranger than fiction. I never understood that until... You know, maybe at the age of 20, 22 or something, I went, that's so true. That is so, so true. Truth is stranger than fiction.
I mean, and is the other interesting thing, what was it? I think it was Mark Twain. You know how we got all these movies out there where there's like conspiracies to contaminate vaccines and like kill people and bring about one world order and things like that? Look.
Yep.
I think it was, what's his name? Mark Twain once said that fiction has to make sense, whereas truth doesn't.
Yeah,
That's why they get all of their keys and clues for all of these end of the world movies and so on and so forth from reality, because nothing's crazier.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
The phrase is, you can't make this stuff up. You just can't make it up. It's that frickin' nuts.
That's right. Absolutely, and I mean, our leaders that have led us down this path, it's hard to say whether they actually know exactly what they're doing, or are they just as stupid as Joe Public, or what is it? But, yeah, as Plato said, refusing to participate in politics, you know, will end up, you know, having you governed by your inferiors. And that's exactly what's happened. I mean, the general public, you know, has access to information, but the internet now is like a global brain that everyone has access to. And there's a lot of, you know, BS on there as well, and there's a lot of good information on there. But for some reason, people still think that we need this government to tell us what's good and what's not. And it's the government that, like I said before, is spending this year $29.7 billion on something that was proven in 1997 to be 97% ineffective. You know, and...
I think you've got it the wrong way around. It was proven to be 97% effective, mate.
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly right. Yeah, in getting rid of people once they're past their use-by date, if they're not on the treadmill, you know, they've got themselves unhealthy and sick, they can't exactly work and pay taxes, so it's time to,
extract
to get rid of them.
Extract what remaining money they have.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And put it in the pockets of the bankers.
That's right.
You know, this whole thing, like, from birth till death, cradle to grave, we're fracked by the system completely. And the person who organised you to come on, our associate producer, Mel, said that you're also very interested in home birth practices and keeping pregnant and birthing mothers out of hospitals because of the enormous amounts of trauma. Would you be able to elucidate and explain a little bit about that? I mean, because this is how we come into the world. And it sets us up for everything that we're about to experience in life, and it's a great microcosm, I think.
Absolutely. I'm a huge advocate of self-empowerment, you know, and when you look at humanity, I mean, it's debatable how long it's been around for. Some people say millions, thousands, whatever. But all throughout history, we've given birth naturally without the need for all these interventions. Now, in the Western world, it's a proven fact that the more domesticated, the more civilized a culture becomes, the more fear and pain there is associated with birth and birthing children. Now, you can go into indigenous countries these days where ladies still walk off out of the rice fields and give birth to their babies in half an hour, not making a peep, no screaming, no carrying on, and come back with their baby and continue working. You know, and that was human history right throughout, you know, its existence. And somehow we've gotten ourselves to this point where pregnancy is looked at almost like a disease or an ailment, you know, that needs to be cured or treated. And the lady doesn't know how to, you know, she's sort of taught, the pregnant mother is taught that she's not empowered, you know, is unable to do anything about this. You pretty much have to submit to the doctor and, you know, let the professional do his job. And due to that disempowerment, I think women are really depriving themselves of a really sacred birthright. You know, the pinnacle of being a woman is to bring your own creation into the world. It's an amazing, amazing experience when you do it naturally at home. You know, I have a young son that was born at home into my arms, and he's never seen a hospital. He's never seen a stranger standing over him with a mask on, you know, no one trying to intervene, no stress. The foundation for a human being coming into the world in that way, instead of a traumatic hospital entry. The world's leading expert in lighting has said that even the hum from fluorescent globes is enough to send an infant into sensory overload and shock the system. I mean, what's our hospitals full of? Fluorescent globes staring down at newborn children. And the removal from the mothers, the early cutting of the cord, oxygen deprivation can be, you know, a result of that as well. I mean, we cut the cord a lot of the times these days and clamp it before the blood, the oxygenated blood, has finished pumping into the baby's body. Now, when they've actually done experiments with that too, about immediate cord cutting with baby monkeys, and found that, you know, a really high percentage of the baby monkeys that were subjected to the same treatment that we do to humans were oxygen deprived and brain damaged from it.
Well, this is a good place to leave it there, ladies and gentlemen. Oxygen deprived and brain damaged as a result. And now we've got to go to deprive you of this radio broadcast by playing some advertisements so we can pay the bills. We'll be right back at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com with William Donati. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. I was just thinking about, like, Jimi Hendrix, There Must Be Some Kind of Way Out of Here, and we're talking about pregnancy. You can't make this stuff up, bro. William Donatello is my very special guest. And, I'm sorry, we were kind of cut off there by the break earlier. And also circumcision. I was just thinking about this. What kind of a lay down, like, this is how your life starts off. Somebody cuts off a chunk of you when you're completely defenseless.
That's right. And not only
what does that imprint you with for the rest of your freaking existence?
Well, you think, Vinny, if that's what we do to our babies as they come out, baby boys, we grab them, we attack their genitalia, then the first thing associated with their sexual organ is a traumatic experience. I mean, sex isn't supposed to be traumatic. Anything that organ is for is not supposed to be something traumatic. So, I mean, are we contributing to some sort of sexual violence or by degenerating and cutting up people's genitalia?
Apparently, there's a Australian folk singer who's very dirty called Kevin Bloody Wilson. I'm sure you've heard of him. And now his daughter has come out, and she's become a folk singer like her dad, and her name is Jenny Taylor.
Jenny Taylor.
Pretty classic.
Anything like her father? That name,
oh yes. Everything but the beard. Well, I say that, but I don't actually know.
Are you familiar with Rodney Roode as well from Australia?
I am. I've heard of him, but unfortunately I haven't consumed any of his content. But my friend Jared is he introduced me to Kevin Bloody Wilson and what are their names? Peter Cook and Dudley Moore, Derek and Clive, and a whole bunch of other really dirty comedy kind of stuff. And it's just brilliant.
Yeah, really. Absolutely. Well, you guys got Flight of the Conchords out of New Zealand. They're brilliant.
They're not dirty, though.
No, they're not dirty. Well, innuendo.
Yeah, but who's endo? And in who?
That's right. So I wanted to just quickly get back on the topic of the natural birthing as well, and the birthing at home, the self-empowerment, Vinny, if you don't mind. One thing I want to make clear as well is in a hospital environment, I mean, with the disempowerment and the authority of the doctor and so on, can actually, you know, lead mothers to feel quite scared, and it seems to be an environment that arises a lot in a birthing situation in a hospital, whether it's the midwives, nurses, doctors, but generally a feeling of, of fear is quite easy to come into. When that is experienced by the mother, the biochemistry of the mother goes into adrenaline, you know, fight or flight. So the blood pumps into the arms and legs and the extremities so that the mother can, you know, fight or run away from a tiger or whatever it is that we're supposed to have this fear for. Instead of the natural oxytocin, which is the love hormone that's released when the mother is relaxed, and what that causes is the body actually pumps the blood all into the uterus, the muscle that needs to do all the work to give birth to the baby. So if mothers are scared and they're kicking and screaming, the blood is in their arms and legs and they're not prepared, you know, for birth, then there's a much higher chance of intervention and so on.
Well, the... Just recently, my girlfriend's brother's baby was born, and his wife had it at home in the bath, the water birth. Less than an hour, no screaming, no worries, healthy baby.
Beautiful. That's a great story, Vinny. I'm glad to hear that, mate. It's good to see more and more people taking that responsibility into their own hands, you know?
Well, you know what happens? Have you ever been in a situation where people are telling you this, that, and the other, you've got to do such and such and blah, 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 and you have no idea what they're talking about, and you get really confused, and as a result of being confused, you kind of get a little bit scared, a little bit apprehensive?
Yes.
That's hospitals in a frickin' nutshell, isn't it?
It's I think what it is an intellectual intimidation. I mean, people go into a doctor's clinic, and that person's gone to school. I mean, they know how to use big words and all this sort of stuff. So people feel intellectually inferior to the doctor. And the truth is, he's only a human that's just been trained. He's gone to another form of schooling that was funded by the pharmaceutical industry and learnt what they told him. He made it there because he swallowed it blindly without ever questioning it. And look, there's a lot of really good doctors out there too that are wide awake, that know exactly what's going on. I mean, my family doctor, everyone knows you need one these days, not for your health, but just for the, you know, forms and whatever else. Sometimes you need a doctor whether you want to get a day off work or whatever. He admits that, there's a lot of doctors in the clinic that get their lunch paid for every day by pharmaceutical companies. They have conferences overseas, might be near Disneyland or something, all expenses paid, and it's a conference where them and their family get to go in the holidays. Now, all these things are funded by the drug companies, the same as the universities that they were educated at. So, basically, people teach themselves or learn about how to look after their own health. They actually start to learn these big words that doctors know and use anyway, and you're not so intimidated, you know. And when you can hold your own with a doctor, you'll actually find that a lot of the times you'll gain respect or you'll get their anger, which shows what an immature, ridiculous human being they are, you know, to be placed in a position of authority and and so, you know, not in control of their emotions and reactions.
Did you know that if you have the letters MD after your name, you are 11 times more likely, wait for it, to be a serial killer?
There you go. I did not know that.
And it makes a hell of a lot of sense, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. I think maybe the MD's for murder, death or something.
Yeah, MDK, murder, death, kill.
And indeed,
the New Zealand Ministry of Health reported that it is the third leading cause of death in New Zealand. On its own website, it admits it. We kill three times as many people as the road toll, okay? You're three times more likely to be killed by your doctor, even according to officialdom, than you are to die in a car accident. And that's not including all of the unreported deaths. Vaccine reactions, chemotherapy, which kills people. They don't include any of that. This is just things that are known medical mishaps that are actually reported on. So if you add everything else on there, the institution called the Ministry of Health in New Zealand that is supposed to keep you alive and healthy is in fact the thing that is most likely to kill you than any other factor. And I would act under the assumption, based upon the same model that the United States, England, and Australia uses to a large degree, the medical practice, they're virtually identical. I would assume that globally, doctors are the world's biggest killers. Now, this sounds completely crazy. You know why it sounds completely crazy, ladies and gentlemen? Because it's a fact. If it didn't sound crazy, it probably wasn't true.
That's right. Yeah, you could not make that up, could you? The guys that are there to look after your health are the most likely to kill you.
And just like there's awful lots of terrorism suppression or surveillance legislation being passed. Now, we were discussing this with Penny Bright in the first segment, right?
Yep.
And I said to her, look, Penny, the reason why they're surveilling, the state is trying to surveil everybody, isn't to protect everybody from the terrorists, it's to protect the terrorist state from the people.
That's right.
You know, and this is my main philosophy in life, William, is that anything that comes out of officialdom, firstly, assume that they're saying the direct opposite. We're doing this for your safety. Okay, they must be doing it to try and kill me or enslave me.
Well, I mean, to work in the medical industry today, and, you know, any man that or woman that you know, got access to their own processes of logic has to work it out. So that means if you continue to be a doctor when you, I mean, say you've treated 10 patients for cancer and you've seen them all deteriorate and die, I mean, does it take a degree of misogyny to, you know, misogynism to actually stay in that line of work? Would you continue a job where you've just killed 10 people and watched them lose their hair and, you know, and seen all their relatives come in and you know, getting emotional and all that kind of thing? Would you be able to continue to administer chemotherapy yourself, Vinny?
It depends whether or not I was afraid of admitting to myself these three words that are necessary for personal growth in life. I was wrong.
That's right. That's right. And that's where, I look, the government itself, they're not about to say that by the looks of things. But, I mean, that's the big thing that people would have to grasp, you know. If people to find out about hemp oil curing cancer and this and that, I mean, they have to change their whole entire paradigm, you know. It's such a big mind switch to go, hang on a second, this system is not looking after me. You know, all my life I've been trained to stay on the running wheel, go to work, pay my taxes, be a good little working citizen, but this is what I've got in return as a public health service from my government. It's a massive thing to admit, and it's, you know, it can be terrifying and life-changing. And I don't blame a lot of people for turning away from the information, but basically, if you're going to turn away from the information that's, you know, jumping up from the people that love you and care about you around you, or on the internet, people spreading this stuff because they've cured their family member or whatever, then, I mean, you don't, you know, you're not... I shouldn't say you don't deserve to live, but you're not desperate enough to keep, you know, to stay alive, obviously.
Well, I think you really have to have a traumatic experience before you radically change direction, you know. Yes. You know, I mean, before I got arrested for selling cannabis when I was in university, and who doesn't, you know, got caught with 13 grams of it, and I had to do 300 hours community service, and I was lucky that I didn't go to jail for up to 8 years. When the person in front of me was growing cannabis, resisted arrest, and was convicted of sexual assault, got 150 hours community service. Had I not been made fun of by the police, had they not made up evidence even after I gave them a full confession, had I not suffered so much trauma that I found it difficult to walk up a flight of stairs because my legs were giving out on me because I was crying so much, had I not had that experience, I would not have benefited from that suffering.
Yeah.
If you take suffering as a gift and then you turn it into something good, if you make your life meaningful again after all the meaning has been stripped away from it, that's alchemy.
Yep. See, and it's a hard process, Vinny. It's a very hard process to go through. I mean, I know ex-police officers that are dying of cancer right now. And could you imagine their career they spent, you know, locking people up, busting, prosecuting for marijuana, and for them to have to switch and go, oh my gosh, I have done that for a living, you know, and I've been praised and upheld in my society by the people in the community for doing that. And now I realise that, you know, I've just been doing putting people in jail for growing the cure for cancer. I mean, the whole paradigm and mindset is changing culturally towards this plant and what have you. But for them, people that have worked in a career like that, to make that big mind flip, it's a very, very hard process.
Well,
very
you don't...
rewarding process, mind you. Very, very rewarding process once you've actually made them realisation. But it's huge, Vinny.
Oh yeah. I mean, your whole life gets turned upside down, and really it must.
Yeah, it'll set you free, but first it'll really piss you off.
Yeah, I mean, the worse you feel, the better it is for you in general.
Yeah.
I mean, of course, unless you're suffering under chemotherapy, in that case, the worse you feel, the worse it is for you.
or radiation.
Yeah. I mean, through life, this is what is happening. That I believe is a really bad trend in society. People are trying to avoid suffering and pain.
Yeah.
I actively try and seek it out because I know that within suffering, within pain, there are the most important lessons in life. If you haven't suffered in order to gain the knowledge that you have gotten, then the knowledge that you have gotten is probably worthless and not true at all.
Absolutely. See, the path of love, simply, I mean, you love and care about the people around you, Vinny. You make it your business to, I mean, if someone gets sick with something, you learn. I mean, there's natural remedies for absolutely everything on this planet. And you learn about them and you implement them. And
now,
the path of fear will lead you handing your power to the doctors and you're going to die.
Yeah, indeed. And actually, here's an interesting side note, complete tangent. They've just done some tests on some psychopathic killers in a prison and shown them really horrible things and what have you, and asked them to try and imagine what they feel. And they actually started to get emotions response from them. We'll be right back.
Just in time, head down the 405. Gotta meet the new boss by 8 a.m. The phone rings in the car. The wife is working hard. She's running late tonight again. Well, I know what I've been told. You gotta work to feed the soul. But I can't.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. I'm no Superman, except when I see David Rockefeller, because then laser beams shoot out of my eyes and burn him to a crisp. My very special guest is William, known only as William Donatello. And here's the thing. A journalist is like a chef. You can't reveal your sources, right? I don't want people to know that. You know, when, if I'm telling you something, and you ask me, who told you that or whatever? And I say, well, just one of my sources. I can't reveal who it is. It doesn't mean that the source is not credible. You're going to actually, the information usually is very, very credible, except this person that probably has a whole lot to lose by coming out and revealing themselves publicly. Like, for example, having their children kidnapped by the state. Do you understand? That's why journalists don't reveal their sources, because then their sources will feel that you've betrayed their confidence and they won't reveal anything to you again. Not to mention, their lives will be destroyed and it will be your fault if you reveal who it was. Okay? Just wanted to let people know that, just in case they think there's any form of mistransparency. You know, it's the same thing with people from Anonymous who come out wearing masks. A lot of people are saying, oh, these people are wearing masks, therefore we can't trust them or whatever. Just look at the information that they're telling you, mate, okay? You know that they're telling the truth because it checks out, regardless of whether or not you know who's saying it behind that mask.
That's right.
All right, so, William, you're back, are you?
Absolutely. I'm here, Vinny.
All right. What do you feel about that statement I just made there?
I think you're absolutely correct, and it's just, I mean, I can understand people feeling, hesitant about people that don't want to reveal their true name. But, I mean, you know, people, we're families, we're fathers, we're mothers, we're sons and daughters. We care, you know, we're just people, but we've been trained to totally ignore that. I mean, there's people out there that are posting videos of you know, themselves curing their cancer with this illegal drug in our country, you know, that's been demonised for so long. Yet people won't trust that. They'd prefer to trust the authorities and the system and what they say. They'll watch the nightly news and believe every word of it, yet somehow we've been trained to not trust your neighbour next door that, you know, that's just cured themselves of cancer or a friend of cancer or whatever. It's a strange world, Finny, but unfortunately people have to remain anonymous to protect themselves. You know, I mean, you don't go on the air saying I've just made the cure for cancer when you know they'd try to lock you in jail for doing that.
Well, and this is indeed when you know for a fact that they will lock you in jail for doing it, because that's everybody right. Who comes out and says that they've done this gets locked in jail.
That's right. And you know what? Joe Public, that will sit there and judge you for being anonymous, isn't going to come running and say, you know what, I'm not going to work today because you locked that guy in jail for doing a good thing. You know, they don't do that. They don't stop. You know, the system. They don't stop paying taxes. They don't go on protest. They're not going to care. You know, people that do care and want to help each other out, they're the ones that are going to get crucified, mate. If you same as under Mao Zedong, you know, it was the majority of Chinese people that done what they're told were fine. You know, there was millions massacred, but they were all the people that wanted to, you know, exercise their freedoms, their rights.
Well, the ones who exercise their freedoms, their rights, and you know what? We don't actually have any freedom, and we don't have any rights.
That's right.
There are actually three rights, that were guaranteed.
And that's built into the Australian culture as well, Vinny. I'm not sure about the New Zealand, but it seems to be built into the Australian culture that it's almost, you know, a consensus that, yep, that's the way it is.
Yeah. I mean, you've got three rights that are guaranteed. Guaranteed, okay? It's not written down, but these are your rights. Put up, shut up, or pay up.
That's right.
Okay? All the rest, you have to take by force. Okay?
Absolutely.
Now, force is defined under the Patriot Act as using your voice, using published material, or using physical force. All right? You really do have to take your rights by force. If you don't defend those rights that you think you have, you really don't have them at all.
That's right. Yeah, that's why it's, you know, a big interest of the government is to disarm any population. You look at any dictator right throughout history has always disarmed the public.
Well, they don't disarm them right away. They disarm them just before they exterminate them.
Yes.
Yes, I mean, Nazi Germany, first group of people to be discriminated against through legislation in Nazi Germany were homeschoolers. And then when everybody got indoctrinated into the mandatory public schooling, the very last group of people that they passed a law discriminating against were gun owners. And then they were able to exterminate them because they had a whole bunch of brainwashed kids to do their work for them.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the work of Rudolf Steiner. He was an amazing man with brilliant research, and yeah, he could have really contributed, I believe, to humanity in positive ways with what he came up with. You know, his studies in his field of research during the Nazi times, he was hunted pretty much. I mean, there was a war on Steiner.
Practically painted a target on his back. You know,
that's right. Yeah, and what was he doing? Improving children. Making life better,
making them less susceptible to mind control, and Do you know what the word government means in the Latin?
Yeah, it's to control the mind, or to guide or steer.
Yeah. Basically, govern means control, and ment means mind. So, the word government, mind control.
That's right. Yeah, it comes from gubernari and mentis.
So. Has anybody else here been to a government school? You've been to a mind control school. Has anybody here ever listened to a government media? It's mind control media. Have you ever been to a government hospital? Mind control hospital. Come on!
Yeah.
Wake up! They're putting it right there in front of you.
Yeah. But see, Vinny, I believe this waking up is a personal thing. It's a personal realization that people need to come to, and that's what's going to defeat this whole, you know, BS that we've had to, we've had to worry about for such a long time. It's, I mean, our natural instinct when we care for each other and we love our families and so on, we want to be healthy, we want to be happy. These are the things, if you follow your heart, that are going to lead you to become self-empowered, because you have to, you know, you have to just to survive and to live healthy and without pain and suffering these days. That's just part of the parcel.
You're precisely correct. And, you know, the one thing that really frustrates me out of all human behaviour at the moment is the people who are good people who think that people are bad, that we're a cancer on this world, that people don't care about each other. They've lost their faith in humanity. Whereas if they were only to go out their door and ask their neighbour for a cup of sugar or something like that, they'd realise that their neighbour is a nice person who would give them that cup of sugar, even if it was their last cup.
Vinny, I'd never realised the program that had been in my head. I'd see big islanders or Maori-looking people earlier in life, and because they're naturally got a big physical, you know, stature, they're big in size, and some of them might have tattoos or whatever, automatically that the brain will label them as, you know, once for warrior sort of style, nasty things, and you talk to them, people, and all of a sudden, hey, bro, how are you, man? You know, they got the most beautiful, soft voices. They're, you know, they're funny. They're full of jokes and laughter. They're really family orientated people, and you know, it's just a program that's in our heads. What we need to do is break down our own personal programs, and the biggest program that needs to come down, I believe, is the authority. I mean, there's no such thing as authority. You are the authority on your life. You make every single decision and you reap the consequences. You know, and if you've got good intentions, then no one around you is going to want to even stop what you're doing.
It's precisely true. And I was just thinking about that yesterday, actually. It's funny you should mention that, about how well I get along with Maoris. And I was just thinking about, man, I actually have a lot more fun with Maoris than I do with most people.
Yeah.
Because, as you said, They're laughing a large majority of the time, making jokes and actually having fun. And what's interesting is they also are far more generous. They have a lot less than most people, but they give you what they have. And you see people who are like billionaires, millionaires, or whatever, who keep it all to themselves. When to give somebody $10 on the street would cost nothing, whereas I've met Maori people who have, nothing. Literally nothing, and still they're able to give something. You know, it's extraordinary how badly demonized these people are.
And that's not just the Maoris or anything either. I mean, you go traveling anywhere, the Philippines, I've traveled quite a lot to third world countries, and these communal cultures, the Chilean culture, South American, Latin America, they're beautiful, beautiful people that really... their foundation is their family. They have no age segregation. I mean, their young children interact with 70-year-olds as well as 30-year-olds. And, it's a beautiful dynamic. But the Western mind wants to judge that program built into it as well.
It wants to separate us from each other.
Yeah.
And I think it was the Mayans who said, I am you, another me, or something to that regard, Everybody is really, in a lot of ways, a reflection of yourself. Even psychopathic scumbags reflect some of the worst part of yourself. And unless you acknowledge that those parts exist, you're going to lead yourself into trouble. That's William Donatello, thank you very much for your time and your wisdom on all of this, mate.
Thank you very much. It is. Thanks, Brad.
All right. And we'll see you again sometime, ladies and gentlemen. Please, by all means, if you support this broadcast, if you listen to it, go to thevinnieeastwoodshow.com and subscribe today for $5 a month. Please do it. We'll be right back.